and welcome to a brand new episode of the Traction.gg podcast, where we talk about racing games, sim racing, and racing esports. We're back! A brand new season following our spin-off Alpine Esports episode, and we have a lot coming up for you, so thank you very much for listening. I'm Tom, Editor-in-Chief of the Traction.gg website, and joining us today on this special episode are Mark Pierce, Executive Producer at Visual Concept South, and Emmanuel Valdez, also at Visual Concept South, as the Art Director. We're going to be discussing their brand new driving game, targeted at families, LEGO 2K Drive. It's open world, coming soon to both PC and console, features cross-platform online multiplayer, can be played in online or couch co-op, and will hopefully appeal to both a younger audience and parents, or even grizzled racing game fans alike. I've been hands-on with an early preview build of the game at 2K's London offices recently, hence this discussion, but also there's a full article on the Traction.gg website and a video on our YouTube channel with our impressions, both of which are linked in the episode description. It's quite the departure for 2K, who hasn't been active in the racing game scene for several years, and also developers Visual Concepts, who usually make the WWE and NBA games. But here you'll be able to understand how it hired a brand new team for this LEGO game, the first in a multi-title deal. So, here are Mark and Emmanuel to discuss LEGO 2K Drive.
Well, yeah, first of all, if one of you, I don't know who would be best to answer this one, but yeah, how did it first come about?
Now it's over 5 years ago. 2K was approached by LEGO to form this partnership, Set 8. Actually, core members of our team from Visual Concepts represented 2K, and they made a trip to LEGO headquarters and pitched them several proposals of teams that we could potentially work on. And it wasn't necessarily even our team, it was just as a company as a whole. And they were compelling enough to say, yeah, let's work together. But then they asked us basically, you know, what kind of game, these are great proposals, but what do you want to do? Which is kind of rare, right? They just, you know, most companies, you think someone like LEGO or 2K would have an idea what would they want. But they were kind enough to actually ask. And our guy said, look, we have racing and driving game expertise. Why don't we make a racing game, driving game? And they said, sure. So that was the start. And then they worked in earnest on a prototype for a while. I joined about 6 months into the first prototype. And, you know, it's... What I saw early was it was LEGO, obviously, but I saw the beginnings of a really great arcade style type of racing game. And then we spent several more years with a small core team, and then got the project greenlit in 2020. January 2020?
Yeah, end of January 2020 to get the green light. So they worked on about three years. The team of about 35 people worked on the prototype and explored it and figured out basically. You know, when I came on board, I saw the first playable, which won the green light. And when I came on board, I said, it's the first playable. I wasn't expecting much, but I mean, the game.
Yeah, the first playable.
Pretty much like it looks now. I mean, we've done all sorts of improvements with UI and everything, but you know.
The core game was already there.
Yeah. And it's just amazing to see all the bricks break and everything, and then all the worlds that we have and stuff. And then, you know, the core team had done a bunch of arcade driving games. I had done the same myself. And actually, I knew some of these folks from, they were at Midway. I was at Atari. And so I was Midway Atari kind of thing. And so the core team had driving experience, and we went off and got more people hired for open world experience. So we custom designed this team to build this product.
I was going to ask about that because obviously when I think of 2K, I think of in recent times, wrestling and basketball. This is very different.
Yes.
Do you have any examples of games that are driving related that you or the team have worked on?
Yeah, Steve and Brian, and they had worked on Hydro Thunder, and they did three or four games with Raw Thrills, H2 Overdrive, and
Dirty Driving,
the Batman game.
Game. And then even before that, Steve was part of the port team for Cruisin' USA for the N64.
Right, yeah. Good
and,
game.
You know, that's a great solid. I mean, if you're talking about one of the best arcade driving games ever, like he knows also Eugene Jarvis. I mean, one of the most famous designers in the world. And Eugene had all this wealth of knowledge about arcade racing, and Steve just like soaked it all in. Yeah. Until this day, I still hear, "Well, Eugene said this and all that." I'm like, "Oh, that's why."
We had our experience. I was at Atari Games, and I had done Road Blasters, and as far as driving games, at Road Riot. And then when I took over executive producer of the studio then, this or the arcade company, not the other one, the home game. We did San Francisco Rush was our biggest game.
Right.
So we created that game. At the same time, Gene was doing Cruisin' World, and we're always...
He was doing Cruisin' World, and Steve was doing Hydro Thunder.
Yeah.
All at the same time, so... Yeah, so there's a rich history of, like, racing and driving games.
Whether or not it's deliberate or not, that sort of sense of a physical arcade racing game, I do feel a sense of that imbued in the few minutes I've just played.
Yeah.
It's that sort of sense of outrageous fun that seems to be present in LEGO 2K Drive, which is fascinating to me. And are all the team based in America? Excuse my ignorance, whereabouts is the studio?
Well,
or are you around the world?
Southern California. Our core company is in Southern California. Our core team is about now almost 80 people.
Yeah.
We, however, have a partner in Australia that's working with us for some of the SKUs.
Right.
And then we also have people, you know, as it happened with the pandemic, we are a distributed team.
We're worldwide now.
The offices are basically empty. We have our QA guys there, but everybody's working from home. We have quite a few people in Florida and Vancouver, and we have a number of folks in Europe now, and so it's all over. But the core of the team's in Southern California.
How have you managed to keep it a secret so close to release? We're a couple of months out, I think, are we, from release, is it May?
That's a great question.
And it's been quite a long in development, and it seems quite advanced.
Well, they told us not to talk about it.
That
was it. We couldn't talk about it. In fact, it made staffing up the team really hard because they knew us as wrestling and basketball, and we would reach out. They would assume it's the two products, but when we got them at least past the gate where we can NDA them, and we... All we had to say is we're working on this LEGO driving game. We got them, right? They're in. You know, it's like, and you know, it made it difficult for a long time. But it was, I don't know how we kept it so secret. I mean, we're really good at it, I guess. All the way up to the point we're only 2 months from launch.
So. Yeah. I mean, LEGO's such a nostalgic and well-known and loved brand in the world. I think everyone has grown up with LEGO. So what does it mean to you to work on a project for... that's, you know, related to such an iconic brand?
For me, what I really enjoy, you know, I've done this for 40 years now, and I've done all types of games, and it's a family-based game, and that's the broadest market there is when you do a game like that, then you can capture everyone. And LEGO, of course, is a huge brand with families, and as I learned from working on this project and talking to people, of course I knew everybody knew about LEGO, but you don't understand how many people, how many adult fans of LEGO there are, and I mean, people who are heavily invested where, you know, you look at the back wall, and they have, like, you know, all the kits and everything. So, yeah, you feel a sense of responsibility, I guess, to kind of bring it up to that level. And throughout this whole process, I've been with the project now for 2 years. Throughout this whole process, I continue to be impressed by the sincerity that both 2K has and LEGO has for that AAA experience. And so it's been very nice to be able to operate at that level. And all the stuff we bring in, it's never a no, it has to be high quality. So it's been fun. And, you know, LEGO is a very exacting company. They have a whole governance board and everything, color of the bricks and everything. And so we spend a lot of time on a lot of minutia working with them. But, you know, you want to have a licensor who really defends their brand. That means it's a good license. Mm-hmm. So it's just been fantastic, I think. And, you know, the brand LEGO brings so much to the table with just people's attitude and, you know, where they approach it from.
Well, it is the world of creativity, imagination, right? And fantasy, right? And you could build anything on a LEGO. And I thought the dream was, being able to work closely with them and understand, what their process is like. I thought that was really, really cool. But just to be able to build things out of LEGO, even digitally, it feels like, you're building, a real set. And be able to, we have a lot of original designs, a lot of the vehicles that you'll see. It's a mix of, the official ones throughout time, and then you'll see some pretty wacky ones. And that was coming from an industrial design background. I always admired car designers from afar. I'm like, I'd love to design a car as well. What better way to do it in a game that you're working on using Legos, and you can basically build anything you want.
It's Tom here to interrupt this episode, which I hope you're enjoying, to say if you'd like to support the show, we have some affiliate links in the podcast description. We have them for Buzzsprout if you decide to create your own podcast, or sim racing and gaming equipment companies like Fanatec, Track Racer, and Moza. It doesn't change the buying experience for you at all, but if you click the link and decide to purchase something, we may earn a commission that helps us to keep going with the podcast. That's it for now. Thank you very much. Back to the interview.
Well, that leads me on to what I was going to ask next, which is quite a nice segue. So, yes, some of the vehicles in the game you can buy as real-world Lego. Let's say real-world Lego models. Mm-hmm. Some of them you've worked with Lego to design, and they're fictionalized just for this game. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I've also seen McLaren. So that's a licensed product, which I know you can buy a Speed Champions Lego model of that particular car, right? Uh-huh. So you've got all three going on there.
Best of all worlds, right? We got the inventory of all the stuff, the official stuff they created.
Yeah.
There's the licensed ones, and there's definitely the ones that we've created. Even that one, they gave us a lot of creative freedom when it came to like designing our own vehicles.
Well, I mean, that's a cool thing. So you have to work with them and get, come up with an idea.
Everything needs to be approved by them.
Yeah, right.
But it's very much our game, and we design stuff, and then we just have to make sure we don't violate any of their rule sets.
Okay.
Whether it's colors that are outdated.
All shapes of the bricks that won't.
The Lego logo on the tips of the studs. And I mean,
they're very exact. I mean, the rule of thumb is, if you see anything made of Lego in a game, someone should be able to build it real.
Yes, physical, exactly.
Right. Okay. So we had to adhere to that.
In terms of the scope of the game, I've only seen a couple of the entry-level biomes. Mm-hmm. The second one I tried, especially, the first one's more of a tutorial one, right? Seems quite detailed. There's a lot of challenges and events to do. So how have you gone about creating environments that are accessible, but also have things to explore and find and last a long amount of time for people to sort of...
You take 5 years building them?
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. No, simple answer.
I don't mean to be so smug, but I'm just saying that really, it's, you lay it in, and then we just kept adding and adding and adding and trying things, taking things out, putting things back in, seeing what works and what the balance is. We have the story mode, which takes you through all four biomes, right? And you can progress your car up, but then you can also get sidetracked and do on-the-go events and other things and quests. There's mini games in there too that you can play over and over again. And then there's the garage, which is just endless. And a big experience, the garage. I end up spending hours in there. It's ridiculous. I mean, you go in there just for a little bit, and before you know it, hours have gone by.
Right. Yeah. Just explain to me what you can do in the garage. If that's okay.
The garage, basically, you go in there and you can either take an existing vehicle that you've either earned or bought or whatever.
Yeah.
And modify it, or you can start from scratch. You can choose whether you have street, off-road, or boat. And then we give you half a dozen chassis to choose from, like a big wide wheels or smaller wheels. Yeah. And then from that, you just glue on pieces.
Right, okay.
Or snap on, no glue.
And it sounds quite free, though.
And then you can take anyone right away and test drive it or use it in the game immediately. And then you can make a boat and a car or whatever and then flip between all of those while you're playing.
Right. So imagine I could create something there that's quite unique to me and then race it against friends online or have some friends come around and play couch co-op.
And if you're on locally, you can create any kind of vehicle you want and play it with your friends and they can see it. To get online, you're going to have to go through some moderation.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. You mentioned there, there's cars and there's like the quad bike I've seen and boats. And one thing that's really interesting for me is it instantly switches to the different vehicle types as you drive across different terrain. And I really do mean instantly, right? So as soon as you're in the water, it's a boat. And as soon as you're on rough terrain, it's a ATV. That seems like a really easy playable feature, but it's also something that from the video game development side might be quite tricky. Was that a big challenge to make that flow in a seamless way?
That was actually easier than I thought.
Okay.
From a technology standpoint, we know exactly by the pixel what the tires are in contact
with. Right, okay, fair enough.
So we basically, not to get too technical, but we can, we specify the materials for asphalt and for dirt and for water. So it immediately knows and does other things too, just to get the accuracy up. But the version that you're playing right now by default is on auto transform. So the auto transform is exactly what I'm talking about. We just detect what the material assignment is to the different terrain surfaces. But you can switch that off as you get better.
Interesting.
And then you get a little bit more, total control, more agency when you transform. So, you can sort of optimize when you transform in a race. And you get a little bit of a boost in time in front of your competitors because, if you compared it to, there's a split second delay as it auto transforms. You could if this is asphalt and here's the water, I could jump and then in the air, stay as a car a little bit longer and then transform just before it hit the water, instead of right when it hit the water, it hits the, you know, it turns into a boat. You could lose like a half a second.
So if you want the gold time as opposed to
want the most optimal way, yeah, you know, the advanced players usually go to manual transform. But you got to be, you know, it's an extra thing you got to think about. So a skilled player has to remember to transform, because you can go into water with a car if you're not careful, right? Because if you don't transform, you can still move, believe it or not. It's just you're almost a rock and you're just barely moving along. But same thing with like taking a streetcar to off-road. Sometimes you just want to do it just to you know, take like an F1 car.
There's a wrong car.
Yeah, there's actually a challenge called Wrong Car, where we force you into a streetcar on dirt.
Nice.
And you get like this really swirly type of drive, and it's just interesting to feel. And the whole point of it is not to hit like a row of cones on either side of the dirt road, which is quite fun. But you do feel the difference. And what I love about the game is just how we tune that, where you really do feel the difference. There is an advantage of being on an off-road on dirt as opposed to a street vehicle, but you can, you know, drive a street vehicle onto dirt if you wanted to.
Right.
Sometimes you just do that in the open world just for fun.
That manual transform is one of the many things you can do. You know, we have, I think, largely because of the arcade heritage on the team, very approachable model. Anybody can pick it up and play it, whether it's a kid or a father or whatever, pick it up, play it. But there is also the ability, easy to learn, hard to master. So you have you have the ability, like you said, there's the manual transform. You also learn how to maximize hitting bricks to build up your boost. Once you start boosting, if you can continue to hit like the cones or something like that, you can extend that boost further. And also you can get the boost to go into brick bash mode, which it gets to the top and you do a double click, which then you can plow through all the other cars.
I haven't been able to do that yet.
Yeah, no, it takes time. And so, like, you know, I'm not the best racer on the team, but, you know, I do okay, but then when I place against some of the folks who do everything manual, everything, I just blow me away. So there's going to be quite a bit of competition, I think, when we get online and have perhaps older players in there competing with each other.
You forget about about drifting too.
Yeah,
because drifting
yeah.
also builds up your boost meter too. So you want to maximize the time you're in drift.
Yeah, I suppose a key thing there, you were talking about, you know, children and families can play it, but there's this extra level where you can manual switch and master the boost. So the target market, I suppose, at the core would be who you're aiming this game at is sort of a younger audience and a more family-friendly audience. But if you are a more skilled player, there's still going to be something.
It's family. It's definitely family. It's not. We didn't want to make a kids game.
Okay.
It's family.
Yeah.
And we also very much wanted to, and David, who's our designer, very much wanted to provide competition there for older folks and people like himself who are avid game players, you know, Rocket League and such.
Yeah.
And wanted to get to have the competition there. And I tell you, once you start doing the online races, it's with other players who are good.
And that was from the blessing of 2K and LEGO. They wanted to, I mean, we have that sweet spot of, I forgot what the age group is for children, but, you know, they want to bring more teenagers in that maybe think that Legos are for kids. I think our game allows them to, you know, experience a Lego experience where it's not just for kids. They could actually play. We have hardcore game racing guys that play the game, and we compete against them, and it's like, wow, the level competition is super high. You got to be really good. So I've seen the whole range, and the game actually provides that.
Nice, that's good. Yeah, because from what I've played so far, it's very easygoing and introductory. But it's good to know that there's some more there as your skill levels up yourself, not just the XP.
Yeah, plus you get to the end of the story, get into Hauntsboro, the shacks are much more challenging.
Any challenges working on a less powerful, you know, we're testing it now on a nice PC, right? Any challenges working on perhaps some older devices or portable devices like the Switch?
Yeah, I think that one of the hardest technical challenges was the destruction of the bricks and the physics to support that and also make it feel right and look good. And so a lot of time and energy went into that. In fact, there's still some time and energy going into it this week. And so, that was probably our biggest challenge. And to have it play well across all platforms with cross-play is
yeah, there's big. Literally hundreds of bricks flying, and each brick, you know, I go to detail, but one Lego brick is a lot of geometry.
Yeah.
Studs, there's the Lego logo on top, there's a shell, there's tubes in the bottom.
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of optimizations and tricks to be able to still display all that, but not bring the consoles to its knees. And, that part is definitely probably the biggest technical challenge and hurdle that we had to face with the older platforms.
Interesting. Well, looking forward to trying it out on everything. Best of luck for the launch. I guess final thing is what your hopes and expectations come May.
I think we're all very excited to see what people create and how they play it. You know, we have Clementine and over there, and to just see where the audience wants to take us. You know, we have 4 drive passes or season passes planned, and we also have a new biome coming as well.
Okay, right. So the world can expand after.
We're looking forward now to getting out to post.
We're looking forward for a good reception. To keep the game going, so we have a lot of other ideas that we want to put into the game.
Fantastic. Okay, well, Mark Emmanuel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Enjoy the multiplayer.
Oh, will do. Thank you to Mark and Emmanuel for their time there. Much appreciated, and to 2K for the hands-on access. As I say, you can read our opinions on the website, traction.gg, or watch them on our YouTube channel. There's also a supplementary article which details all the key features about LEGO 2K Dry in an FAQ style. The game releases on the 19th of May 2023 for PC, Xbox, PlayStation and Switch. As I say, more details linked in the episode description. Thank you again for your support by listening to the show. We'll be back next Thursday with another developer interview episode, then back to our usual Monday release slot thereafter, and we have more insightful episodes on the way very soon. If you enjoyed that, please like, follow and subscribe on your favourite podcast app to the Traction.gg podcast, and be sure to follow us on social media at Traction.gg. For now, keep it pinned.